And God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank God for all your believing. I also want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr for the privilege to share God's word this morning. I want to share on mixed with believing. You can take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Believing is a topic in God's word that I really love. Believing is what turned me on in God's word when I first heard about it. In fact, I'm so blessed my dad is here. Cesar Mercado, please stand up. That's my dad. He spoke God's word to me when I was 11. He asked me if I wanted to learn about God. And I know exactly where I was. I was in the back of the car, between the buck seats, leaning forward. And I thought about it for a moment because I said, wait a second, I went to catechism. This is before we really got in the word, you know? But I realized, I didn't know about God, so I was like, yeah, I do. And then I proceeded to learn about believing, and that's what I just was amazed that I could pray about something, and then the future just changed because I believed, and I just was so enthralled by that, you know? When we believe God's word, we get great results. So in Hebrews here, chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not," what?
Profit.
"It didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith," that's believing, "in them that heard it." Look at this. There's us, and then there's them. Okay? Us, that's the believer. The believers. Those other guys, they heard. They heard the word. Okay? But it didn't profit them. Profit is a good thing. Everybody likes to profit, right? If you want the word of God to profit you, which means to assist you, to be useful or advantageous to you, you got to mix it with believing. Because everybody here could hear the word of God all weekend, the best teachings ever. But if you don't do something with it, it will not profit you. You got to mix it up. Mix it up. This word mixed, Jerry shared this great verse, the theme verse, last night. And in this particular verse, this word mixed is what stood out to me. It's like, let's look at this word. What is this word all about? Is it dancing? Mix it up? You know? It is a verb. Dancing's a verb. Mixed here means to mix together, to co-mingle, to unite, cause several parts to combine into an organic structure, to unite one thing to another. So, of course, and I shared some of this at a Lightbearers, I don't know, maybe about a year and a half ago or something, but I thought about when you make a cake. I still have never made a cake. But my wife, Rosaria, she makes a lot of cakes. And I get to see the butter, the sugar, the self-rising flour, the eggs, the milk, and the teaspoon of pure vanilla extract. What do you suppose, what kind of results would you get if you put all that together in a beautiful dish, and put it in the oven for 30 minutes without mixing it? Anybody do that ever? Any of you guys try to make a cake and do that? You would get a hot mess is what you would get, I'm sure. I think I might try that as my first cake, just to try it out, just to see, knowing. You know? But if you mix it, okay, actually, in preparation for this lovely sharing this morning, I actually read online how to make a cake. And It actually said to mix stuff as you put in each piece. You don't just put it all together, guys, and then stir it at the end. You gotta put it in, and then Will knows about this, Elky. You mix it in as you put it in, right? And you just whip it up. You whip it up good so that there's no possible way to take out the yolk. Or how are you gonna get out the flour after that? You can't take it out. No, try to get that vanilla extract out of there. No way. When you whip it up and stir it in there, it changes. Now it's ready to be baked. And then you put it in for 30 minutes and you get some kind of profit out of that. You get a cake. That's what we want. You hear God's word, you mix it so you can have profit from it. So you get your cake and you get to eat it too. That's right. Yeah. Not just a few turns when you mix it either. You gotta whip it real good. Remember that song? That's what it's about. I always wonder, what the hell is that song about? Whip it real good. Devo, you know that? You young guys probably don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Whip it good, though. We're just having some fun this morning. You know, we're at camp. Camp, my daughter. Oh, my daughter's so excited to come to camp. Well, actually, they call it the advance. When is the advance, Daddy? Juliana looked at me last night and she said, are we at the advance? So great. So this verse right here, this is a great instructional verse. It tells us how to have profit when we hear God's word. So these guys here, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith that's believing in them that heard it. And then it says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. That's a great profit right there from believing God's word. Rest. Man, think of all the things that just get taken care of in our heart when we believe and enter into that rest. The gospel preached that this is talking about, I just thought it was really interesting to just point out. We're not going to go to these verses, but I'm just going to tell you that the gospel preached was the good news. It means, gospel preached means the announced glad tidings. And in Acts 20, 24, you don't have to go there, it was the good news of the grace of God. In Romans 1, 1, it was the good news of God. In Romans 1, 9, it was the good news of his son. In Romans 1, 16, it was the good news of Christ. In Romans 10, 15, it was the good news of peace. In Galatians 1, 11, it was the good news that is not after man. In Ephesians 1, 13, it was the good news of your salvation. In Ephesians 3, 6, it was the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, the good news. Ephesians 6, 19, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So this is what they heard. This is the word that was preached to them. It was that Christ died for you. He got up for you too. That your sins are forgiven. There's nothing over you anymore. You're righteous. You could stand before God without any guilt or condemnation. You're sanctified. You're justified. You're going to heaven. This was the good news. This is the greatest news that has ever been announced in the entire world. You're never going to hear anything better than that. It's good news, isn't it? That's what they heard. They heard all about that. They heard that it's Christ in them. That's good news. And that's what we need to mix and commingle in every piece and crevice of our heart, so that it turns into that great batter and we cook it up and we get the profit of it. Hebrews 9:4-9, down a little bit, says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own work. So give it up, people. Stop trying to figure it out yourself. Stop trying to, you know, over-intellectualize everything and trying to just burn out over stuff. Stop it, as God did from his works. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Ugh. Why have unbelief in your life when all you got to do is mix it up? Just mix it up. When, with believing, you let go. You know God's doing his part, and therefore you can rest because you trust in him. Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, 13. Says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at this. Some other results of believing. Joy and peace in believing. And you know, at times I remember a bad situation or something, and then I'd pray, and then I'd tell myself to believe. And then I would have this little effervescing inside from within. Out here, the situation is dark. But from within, I had this inner smile because I just turned it on. I mixed it. I mixed it up. And you effervesce, you have joy from within when you believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that what?
Believe.
If they didn't believe, it wouldn't have worked so effectually. But they believed. And this effectually worketh here means you get the desired results. It's to be at work, and it means to put forth power. You gotta know that when you believe, there's power being released because God is working. Mix it in your hearts, that special place, that place in your heart where you believed one day that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, and you confessed him as Lord, and you got born again. That's where we believe, in our heart, in the deepest part of us. In there, we believe. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Verses 5 and 6, it says here, trust in the Lord with what?
All thy heart.
You know, God's word means what it says. You don't just compartmentalize, you know, and just trust with a little bit, piece of your heart, you know, the piece that's you feel most comfortable with or something like that. It says all in, all of it. I love that word all without exception. Some people use the word all and they have these distinctions in their mind. You know, all with a distinction. Yeah, all, but not this little part. That's not all. It's all. I love it. A double hockey sticks. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, because it's going to fall over anyway. Leaning is structural. You know, if I go to lean and whatever if I lean on that flagpole, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to hold me. So don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in some of thy ways acknowledge him. What? Oh, I'm sorry. I got to read what's written. All thy ways. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Do you acknowledge him in some of your ways? In, you know, almost all of them. Mix that word of God in every single crevice, nook, and cranny of your little old heart. And acknowledge him in all thy ways. And then this is a promise. He shall direct thy paths. Who do you want directing your ways, your paths? Why not the creator of the heavens and the earth, God? That sounds pretty good to me. All without exception. So cool. The trick is to just think, you know, I'll acknowledge him in the areas I'm comfortable with, but in the other ones, I want to hold on to them and do it my way. You know, that's the trick. And that's a private thing between you and God. Who's going to call you out on that? You know? Who's going to reprove you about that? Some people don't even get reproved for the stuff that's blatant that everybody sees. Much less that kind of stuff. People laughing, they know what I'm talking about. Nothing wrong with reproof, with love, and getting back to right believing. You know, it's part of the word. We should excel at that. In balance, you know? In the history of mankind, God has never failed to bring his word to pass. And he's not going to start with you. I mean, you're special, but you're not going to get God to break his word. No. Believing is a journey into God's realm, the supernatural order that we belong to. We belong to that order because it's God in Christ in us. He dwells within us, not the world's ways. We're part of God's ways. Psalm 78. Verse 40. Through 42, it says, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. They provoked God with unbelief. They limited God. This word limited, it means to mark out, to point out the boundaries of. And it's where you put God in a box and you limit him to that box. That's insane. God is infinite in variety and wisdom. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He can do miracles beyond miracles. Who are we to put him in a box? That's what these believers did at this time. We mix this word of God in our heart, in all of it. And you know what? God only wants all of your heart. He wants your whole heart. What kind of love is it where you say, I love you, but, you know, I got conditions. If those of you who got married, what if you said that to your spouse, you know, during your little speech to each other? I don't think so. That wouldn't have gone over too well at my wedding. You know, he wants all of our heart, and we should give it to him. He's worthy of that. He's worthy of that kind of trust, you know? Matthew 22, verse 36. Matthew 22:36. It says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." There's those words again. Everything. You know, God asks for everything in our heart. Everything. All means whole. It means completely, every whit, all together and throughout our whole heart, soul, and mind. That's what he wants. Mental assent. Jerry mentioned a little bit about that last night. You see, believing is a verb. It's action, right? Clear. Mental assent is dangerous to the believer because you agree with God's word, but you do not act on it. Mental assent means intellectually accepting God's word is true and admiring it and saying, "Oh, wow, did you hear that? That was beautiful, this, that, and the, oh, man, God's word is awesome. Sounds great, right? Wonderful." But it does not literally act, allowing God's word to be mixed into the thinking, into the heart, to be mixed in the mind with believing. Then it, you know, as you do that, it gets put into operation in your life and you receive the benefits. My wife juices. I was gonna juice. But that stuff looks like some swamp mess sometimes, you know? But I noticed when it gets in the cup, a lot of the goodness just goes down to the bottom, you know? And the top is all light. Think of your own favorite beverage when you're over ice. You want to stir it up a little and get the goodness, right? It's like anything. You got to do something. Don't be lazy. Mix it up. And enjoy the drink. It's healthy. So mental assent is just another form of religion, except it's couched really nicely, you know? Ultimately, we need to be aware of what we actually say and what we do, because that's really what shows what we actually believe, what we say and what we do. Let's pay attention to that, you know? Holy moly. They're going to cut the mic off on my time thing as soon as time is up. But I thought about controlling your mind to believe. We have to control our mind to believe. And God's word says that we could guide our heart. That means we can control our mind. There's a great verse. Let's go to Proverbs quickly here. Oh, man, I'm killed with time here. But Proverbs, I need two volunteers to read these. One verse here, Proverbs 16:32, and Proverbs 25:28. Jesse. All right, so as a believer, sometimes we're all good and dandy and believing in everything, but then we get really upset, you know, mad, and then it's like the word's gone. I'm great with the word until I get really, really pissed. Or I'm great with the word until somebody really hurts me, you know, and then forget it. Well, Lance, go ahead. Yeah. Ruling your spirit, you should be able to do that well. That's controlling your emotions. And then, according to God, it's like you've been able to take over a city where you're the leader of that city. You take over control, and you govern your mind, and you tell it to believe. You tell it what to do. Next verse. Look at the wonderful contrast to that. One is where you take over a city. And the other one is a city broken down with no walls, where any jackass could come through and take a piss in the corner. You gotta control your mind. And I'm not just talking about controlling your mind so that you don't act like a jackass and, you know, so that you're just a decent person. No, control your mind to believe the word of God that you have learned and that you've been served on a silver platter. You control your mind to do that. I gotta go now to Daniel. We're gonna look at a record where these people, they mixed the word of God with believing in their heart to the end that it was life or death. And we're going to Daniel, but I just want to read Exodus 20, because this is what these young men believed, okay? These young men believed Exodus 20, verse 3. We're talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. But don't you go to bed, you stay awake. You got time to go to bed later. All right, Exodus 20, verse 3. This is what these young men believed. This is what they were taught from when they were little children. And this is what they had in their heart. It says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. This is what these young men believe. Now go to Daniel 3. This is about these young men and a king named Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if we had video of this kingdom at this time, it would probably have to be rated X. Because this guy was a bastard. This was the kind of king that just got anything he wanted, whenever he wanted. This was a world power. He ruled like a terrorist. Off with their head. And their head was off. This is the kind of narcissist we're talking about. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. You there, Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel 3? He made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it in the midst, in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. This is 90 foot tall. It's like a 9-story building. His image of gold that he made up must have taken some time to design, construct. He was proud of this thing. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the councils, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. This is not just the subjects in his kingdom. It's all the leaders and the rulers. Then the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, councils, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Who set this up? Just in case, you know. Then an herald cried aloud. Jimmy Cahill will make a great herald. Just picture him shouting this out, all right? To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet hoot. Jimmy, you wouldn't have said it like that. Flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, he fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Must have sounded crazy with all that. And whoso falleth not down and worship it shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning furnace. So his leaders, he's training them up to do their right kind of leading. And this is how he wanted to show them something. Therefore, at that time, you know, these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were here. What did they know? What did they have in their heart? Don't do that. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, and all kinds of music, the people, nation, languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Oh, boy, here we go. There's always somebody watching, you know. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou king hast made a decree that every man that hears shall the sound of the cornet flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the of province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready at that time when ye hear the sound of the cornet, hoop, flark, sack. And all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have set up well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? I'm the king. You could imagine his just, ooh. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O king, I'm so sorry. This is a big misunderstanding. We were going to worship, but. No. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This was life and death to them. They had so commingled the word in their heart that they weren't about to do it. You know, a lot of times, it's not about taking action. Sometimes it's taking action to not do an action, to know what not to do. And these guys, they knew their life was at stake. And the other guys, all those other princes, captains, and everybody listening must have been like, Oh my God. These guys, ooh, they're gonna burn. Then was Nebuchadnezzar, verse 19, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. He was full of fury, anger, and rage, to the point that the image of his face contorted. He probably shook in anger and just completely infuriated against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it wanted to be heated. It didn't want to be heated seven times. And he commanded that the most mighty men that were in his army, that they bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning furnace. And these men were bound in their coats and their hosens and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. They're in. Uh-oh. Where's God? You know, sometimes you're in a situation and God's got the answer. He's always with us, you know. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, Oh, true, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, for the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God is always with us. We're never alone. He was there for these guys. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near unto the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, captains, all these guys were there. They witnessed this stuff, and they saw that their bodies had no hurt, and the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor smell of fire passed on them. You know, when you sit around a campfire for a little bit, you think you go home and you're fine, and then you realize your clothes stink, and your hair, it smells of smoke. My hair, my God, sometimes it smells so much like smoke. 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. They trusted with their life, like Jesus Christ did before he gave it, knowing he would get up from the dead. He gave. These guys trusted. And he changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, King Nebuchadnezzar, make another decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, these guys, they proved the point, and now there's a decree about it. If other people talk bad, they get reproved and taught the right word of God. No. They get cut into pieces and their house is made a pile of shite. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. So stop trusting in yourself. Stop trying to look to others and make other gods for yourself. There's only one, the one true God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So mix that word of God in to where there's just no going back. You're not going to take out the yolk and the salt and the vanilla. It's in for good. Mix it in, people. I love you. God bless.